Tell me, wouldn't it be awesome if you could build a personal brand that would last you a lifetime? That wouldn't fade when the algorithm changes, that wouldn't become completely cringe and outdated, that would feel authentic to you and actually liberating, and that would inspire instant buying desire in every ideal client who comes across your offers. Now, this is not some utopian scenario, and this is not too good to be true. There is an actual framework you can follow to achieve this result, and today's guest is hands down the best expert, in my opinion, to talk on this topic. I introduce you to today's guest on the Launch Society podcast, Marina Gurgis. Now, Marina is a personal brand coach and speaker helping freedom-obsessed women build true-to-self brands and live vivaciously. Born in Egypt, raised in Kuwait, first-generation U.S. immigrant, and a massive globetrotter and digital nomad, Marina is a living testament to her business motto, living vivaciously. She's previously worked at companies like Estee Lauder and Victoria's Secret, but after realizing 9-to-5 was not for her, went out and built a six-figure business teaching women the power of personal branding. Now, when I first met Marina 2 years ago by stumbling across her Instagram page, I remember feeling an instant connection. Something about how she was positioning herself and her services and her brand really resonated with me, and I remember thinking, I want to work with her within 10 minutes of landing on her page. At the time, I couldn't quite put my finger on what exactly resonated so much with me and what exactly made me feel this way until I learned about her brand building framework, which is also exactly why I'm so excited to bring her on today and for you to learn about that framework too. In today's chat, we're diving deep. We're exploring why even new entrepreneurs need to prioritize branding, the actual tangible benefits of true to self authentic brand, as well as the nitty-gritty and the step-by-step of how you can start building your authentic brand. Because if there is one thing you know about this podcast, is that we are not about fluff here. We want tangible takeaways and tangible, actionable steps you can take right away. So whether you're just starting out, or you need a change, or you're realizing that your brand needs a pivot, this podcast episode is for you, and I'm so excited for you to dive in. Marina, welcome to this podcast. I am so excited to have you today, and I want to jump straight in. So living vivaciously is really at the heart, at the center of your business. I mean, that's your Instagram name. That's the name of your business, the name of your platform. It's how you market and brand yourself. And it's really, whenever I think of you, it's also the first word that comes to my mind. But what does it mean for you exactly in tangible terms? What is living vivaciously to you?
Thank you, Anastasia, for having me. And living vivaciously, I know a lot of people can't even say the word. I've gotten weird variations of the word vivaciously lately, but it has become like a synonym for who I am and what my brand stands for. And I remember when I was trying to pick a name for my brand and my business, it was late 2019, and I was in a coffee shop, and I kept like going through all these names that were very directly related to travel. And guess what happens at the beginning of 2020? We all know what happens, right? So travel wasn't a thing back then. So I was so grateful that I picked a name that actually embodied everything that I wanted to become and everything that I wanted for the people, and especially the women I wanted to help through my business. And at that time, I thought it was through travel. I thought it was through blogging and showing people how to live the lifestyle that I was living at the time, how to quit their jobs, travel full time, things like that. And I'm so grateful that in that moment, I decided, you know what? What is it at the core of everything that I'm doing? What is it that I actually want people to get as a transformation? And it was to live a full life. A life where you look back and think, wow, I did it my way. And I feel like I always want to cue Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, right here to describe what living vivaciously is. And it's not about not having regrets. It's about fully feeling like you've lived a life that was in alignment to your value, to your inner compass. And that was especially important for me to help women with. I come from pretty restrictive background and culture. I've grown up in the Middle East most of my life. And I found my own personal freedom when I moved to the States, because at that point, I really had very little influence from my parents. They still were a big part of my life, but it wasn't until then that I discovered what living vivaciously means to me. And I was like, well, I know there's so many other women struggling with basic needs of freedom, which, to start with, the basic needs, freedom of expression, to speak your truth, to say, this is who I am, and I'm okay with this. So to sum it up, living vivaciously is to live fully, to live a life that you feel represents you on your own terms, doing whatever you want, wherever you want to do it.
I love that you mentioned, as you were explaining how the name came about, that you really went back to the core of what you wanted your business and your life and your brand to be about. And I feel like that's so fitting coming from a branding coach, from someone who teaches other people how to build their brand, that you did that for yourself at first as well. And as my first follow-up question, you know, we will get into the details a bit later, but since you mentioned it right now, how did you get to the core of what you wanted to do? Because you mentioned first you wanted to go off to travel and there were all of these other things that were also exciting to you. How did you peel all of those outer layers and how did you get to the actual, you know, core of what you wanted to represent?
The answer to this question might not make everyone happy, because it's going to be self-discovery. I cannot stress this enough, that self-discovery and self-awareness is the first step to starting a lifelong, purposeful brand. And I say lifelong because I knew at that point that what I was about to do with my life and my business wasn't, and I'm getting chills right now, wasn't temporary. It wasn't something that I was doing because I was bored. It wasn't something I was doing because everyone else was doing. I mean, at that point, like, we still didn't go into the digital nomad age, right? It was like a few select people who were doing that. When I say select, it sounds elite, but it's not. But you know what I mean, right? Right now, everyone is traveling and everyone has a business, which is great. I love it. But at that time, it was such a terrifying thing. But I knew that this is what I wanted to do. How did I know? It's because I went through adversity. I went through life challenging experiences that led me to realizing, what is it that Marina wants to do that will make her life much better for a really long time? And looking back at all my experiences before getting to my corporate job, I feel like I've lived many lives for the age that I am, but I realized that my joy came from autonomy. I was working when I worked for myself, when I created opportunities and things for myself. I realized it came from travel and linking my travel experiences with anything that I was creating in the present moment. And also, I realized that there was a link between education and women. I worked as a makeup artist before, when I was in college and before I went into my corporate job as a designer, as a fashion designer. And I remember loving it so much. And even when I was a waitress too, I remember loving that so much. And I'm like, why are these jobs so exciting for me, even though I'm standing on my foot like 8-10 hours a day, talking to people nonstop? When I go home, I don't want to talk to anyone else. I don't want to even socialize, but I'm so fulfilled. And I made really good tips and I had the best reviews and I could sell $500 worth of makeup to one person. That is insanity. How did I do all that? I was so passionate. I had this fire and I knew if I could just go back and bring all these experiences, but that requires, that linking part requires a lot of self-analysis, self-discovery, sitting with yourself, journaling. And these don't make a lot of people happy when they hear like, oh crap, this is the first step that I got to take. Because what do people want to do? They want to skip. They want to go into, well, I was a designer. How can I use design to make money? You could, and that's a freelance business. But I'm talking about what can you create as a legacy, as a long-term brand. And that was it for me. So that was the first step to peel, as you said, it's like an onion, peeling back the layers of, okay, what is it that I like? What is it that excites me? Where can I monetize? What do I want to get rid of? That's important
too. I love that. I love it. And I love that you mentioned lifelong as well,
Because this is the whole topic of our conversation today, right? How can branding help you build a pivot-proof business? And a pivot-proof business is a business that can stay with you your entire life, a business that supports you, right? That fits your lifestyle, no matter how many times your lifestyle changes. So to go into detail about that as well, you know, you were about to start your business and you decided to write out what your brand would be about. Now, I will have to say that this is something I don't hear people talk about often, especially, you know, new business owners who are just starting out. They normally go into, okay, what can I sell? What can I offer? How can I make money? And not to say that there's something wrong with that, but to sort of explain why that's important. Because normally, you know, branding gets boxed into something only big corporations do, companies like Coca-Cola or companies like Silicon Valley giants. And it's not talked about often when we talk about businesses which are just starting out. So in your experience, why does someone need to define that before they ever delve headfirst into business?
That's such a great question. I do get the impression that a lot of people, new entrepreneurs, especially in this very digital entrepreneurial age, think that branding comes last. It's something that you do when you make a lot of money. While I actually have a program specifically curated for baby entrepreneurs, the ones that are just starting out. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't need branding. I need business coaching. But here's the problem. Branding is the foundation upon which you can build a business and a marketing plan. So given that branding is the foundation, it creates an internal set of values and rules and a compass, an internal compass for you to understand your business first. This is something I love to say. I'm like, if there's something that you yourself don't understand, how can other people understand it? So what branding does, and the way I see branding from a philosophical, even a spiritual standpoint, it is like basically the Bible that you create for yourself to live by when you're building your brand and your business. And then all the business strategies, all the marketing plan become the outer compass for other people to understand what your business is about. But first, we need to understand what our message is. We need to understand what is the purpose behind our business and set up the foundations. Why do we want to serve the people that we want to serve? Most people don't even ask themselves that question, and it shocks me. And then they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in business, and they're like, well, I get the shittiest clients. And I'm like, well, have you ever thought about who you really want to attract and serve? Because if you think about that, then you cater your messaging around that person. So you only attract those kind of people that you really want to help. So I see it as the foundation. And it makes me really sad when I see a lot of people invest in courses or other programs to scale when they have nothing to scale. You have nothing to scale and you want to go straight into scaling. It's like skipping the baby steps of just learning how to find your ground and find fun in the movement and learn about yourself and going straight into, I just want to walk and ride a bike and do all these grown-up things, you know? And it just doesn't work out that way. And people end up going back to square one. How many rebrands and relaunches have we seen just over the last couple of months? I'm sure you've seen many on your end. I see it all the time. And I'm like, people are finally waking up to the human aspect of why they are in business. And that is so important.
You've probably heard by now that selling your own digital offer is the easiest, most effective way to create a new passive income stream for your business and to position yourself as the go-to expert in your niche all at the same time. And you've probably also heard by now that online course creators are raking in anywhere from 6 to 8 figures of revenue. And the idea sounds enticing to you, but you're just a little bit too overwhelmed as to where you need to start. All this marketing jargon of webinars, funnels, promotional materials, creating your course, actually putting your thoughts into a curriculum seems just a little bit too overwhelming. If that's the case, I got you. I have just created a limited time free training that will help you get a head start on creating and selling your own stellar online course. This free training is gold, if I do say so myself, and has some of the biggest learnings I took away from working on multiple seven-figure courses and marketing and selling offers ranging anywhere from $14 to $20,000. If you want to find out the most effective strategies and secrets to creating and selling your successful online course, then don't sleep on this offer. Register for the training by following the link in the show notes and watch it before I take it down. Okay, let's jump right back into the podcast.
Having done your program as well, just what was it like? Did it end 2 months ago? It was fairly recent. I have to say that the way you see branding and the way you show how to do branding in your program has very little to do with how branding is being presented, let's say, online to a wider audience, where it's all about how can we create a tagline that speaks to our ideal client and a color scheme that is fitting our brand. It's just the tip of the iceberg. And like you said, you go in the philosophical meaning of it. I feel almost like branding doesn't do justice to how deep you dig in your program, because it's more about like, well, what sort of business and what sort of life you want to build. And I feel like you said, because it's so hard to sit with yourself and your thoughts and be brutally honest with yourself about what it is that you want, because maybe you don't even believe that it's possible for you. So you just sweep it under the rug and you're like, oh, let me just get started. Let me get the ball rolling. And you end up building something that you hate with all of your guts and your business is controlling you. So I love that it's a definition thing for you as well, right? Where branding is about so much more than just the outer parts of it. It's about how you want to live your life and your business. And you mentioned that, you know, a lot of people want to skip the steps. So I have a feeling I might know the answer, but do you think there's a right time to start thinking about your brand? Is it ever too late? Is it ever too early? When would you say do business owners need to really think about their brand and what they represent?
Right now. Right now is the right time. If you're listening to this, it means you have the curiosity already to start a business and to start a brand and to live on your own terms, just like you do, Anastasia. And that's what attracted me to you as well, is that you were able to put your lifestyle at the front and center of everything that you're creating. And I just admire that about you. And I'm sure the people that are tuning in and listening, they are wanting that too. So if that's you, then I would say the right time is now. There's no better time to start prioritizing what you want out of life. And the reason why my branding program that Anastasia was just talking about, it's called the Brand Development Coaching Program, is because I cannot possibly put any other label on it, because that's the label that you need to understand what the product is about. However, once you get into it, you realize that there's a bigger purpose and meaning behind becoming a business owner. And to me, at the core of it, when I started like philosophizing and thinking and meditating on this, it turned out to be ownership. I remember when my messaging was all about like freedom, freedom, freedom. And freedom is great, but freedom is derived also from ownership. So once we have ownership, and by ownership, I mean ownership of your time, your lifestyle, what you want to do, what you want to say, all the little things that kind of add up to create larger freedom, that is ownership. So when you think of your brand as something more of something that you are building ownership and a revolution and creating disruption and creating change with your brand, you start to shift your idea from like, I just want a business to make money from, to no, this is something very important. And I've also noticed that a lot of my clients, once they leave my program, they take time out. And I was like thinking about this often, because they're very successful, intelligent humans, and they came in wanting to launch. But what happens is, there's this big mindset shift around, well, I know how to make money. The money is not the issue. Now, how do I like put all of this to create change? And this is a way deeper, like an introspection about what kind of change we want to make in the world. and using your brand to do that. Because trust me, the money's so easy. You could easily right now use whatever skill you've gained in corporate, if you were in corporate or in your other day jobs or from school. If you graduated like me from design, you have such an amazing skill to monetize like this right away. But then the question comes, why do people quit? Why do people not want to do these things anymore? And that takes me back to, as humans, we need a deeper purpose to everything that we're doing. We need to see that whatever we're doing is actually serving a purpose, creating impact.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, for someone who's listening, and they're like, okay, I feel like it's interesting, but they're still a little bit on the fence. And they still don't understand exactly how does building solid brand foundations help them? How can that help them build a pivot-proof brand? How does it translate into, you know, getting those sales in? How does it translate into building a company that's, you know, consistent, that's thriving, that's attracting all of the right people? So could you expand on that a bit? How does solid branding contribute to all of that?
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, it is your internal compass. When you understand what it is that you want to communicate, and when you add a deeper purpose to it, a few things happen. First, you're very clear in your messaging to other people. And when you're really clear, you start attracting the right people. When you attract the right people, what happens? You make the right money. You make the money that you need. You are able to convert people. And you know, it's easier to talk about sales. I literally, ever since I changed my mindset about what is my brand and what I stand for and all these things, selling has become so easy for me. Even with my friends and family, which is something I struggled with in the past. Like, I used to not want to tell them like how much it is or what it is that I'm doing or selling. And now it's almost like something that we have as a casual conversation. Most of my friends have joined my program, and I know a lot of people are like, my friends don't want to join. Well, it's because we shy away because we want to hide who we are in front of people. And the hardest people to show our truth to sometimes are the closest. So when that transformation happens, when you're able to tell the closest people to you confidently what it is that you sell and do, you again have that sort of like ownership. So you sell with confidence, you sell with joy, you sell without feeling icky. So with this deep understanding of what my inner compass is, aka my branding, my internal branding, which internal branding is the most important thing. People always think of external branding, visuals, and what comes out as a derivative from core messaging into content strategy. And they forget that there's the internal part, which is your purpose, your mission, your vision. This is not like just to put on a website. That's actually for you. And then understanding your clientele. So once you have these deeper understanding of the what, the why, the how, and then you're able to communicate it in a concise way, you attract the right people, you get the clients, and you make consistent sales, and you have people wanting to work with you. And this is a key word here. They are wanting to work with you. You don't have to pitch and sell. Literally all the opportunities I've gotten in terms of like speaking engagements, podcasts, anything like that, collaborations, were people from my network coming to me. And basically what they're trying to say is, we've seen you do the work. You are a true representation of whatever it is that you're preaching. And we want you on board. We want to talk with you. We want to pay you to do X, Y, and Z. But because people are so scared of like the more spiritual, philosophical underlining of like this, they shy away from it. But the truth is, it is the more philosophical. It's getting to know yourself on that level and getting to know your brand on that level, where when you show up, there's no disconnect between offline you and online you. So now it's seamless and it's effortless.
You know what? When you were saying that, a thought came into my mind as well, is that that is the biggest advantage that we have as solopreneurs or personal brands, where we are the face of our brands. And if we look at those big corporations, which are normally looked up upon in terms of branding, their most successful campaigns are not the ones where they, you know, regurgitate the same boring values. It's actually the campaigns where they do touch on that emotional level and connect with people on that personal, emotional level again. But, you know, for someone listening to this who's like, okay, showing up online as my true self, maybe they're not really social media savvy. Maybe they don't want to let people in because let's face it, internet can be pesky. There are so many people online that can be really harsh. How can these people start showing up as their authentic selves out online? How can they get over that initial hurdle of, you know, feeling scared and vulnerable?
I believe that authenticity is already within us. And people will always have something to say about you, your appearances, your accent, your way of communicating and teaching. But at the end of the day, does it really matter? It's a hard one to get over, especially if you're new in this space, to like, well, I'm going to be judged. But the truth is, everyone's going to judge you. I know I get judged all the time. Maybe people are not saying it to my face. Maybe they're thinking it. And you know what? I handle that objection even before people do it. So that's kind of my trick. So it's like handling objection on sales calls on within your content, where before the client even begins with the objection, you put the objection front and center. So maybe that you have an accent and you could say something about your accent to set that tone first. You can make a comment without putting yourself down, of course. It kind of puts you back into the ownership seat. See, it goes back to ownership, into that, like, I'm in control. This conversation is mine. This brand is mine. And here I am being vulnerable. So enjoy it. And I can guarantee you that after like a year of doing it, you'll no longer care, because people will always have opinions about how you live, how you dress, how you look, how you speak, and nothing will ever be enough for everyone. What do they say? Like 80% of people don't care and 10% will love you and 10% will hate you. So like the majority of people don't even give a shit. I don't know if I set the numbers right there.
Let's look up the statistics.
Yeah, maybe look up the statistics on Google, but the point is that the majority of people don't even care, and only a very small percentage actually like care in a negative way. And then a small percentage will actually be obsessed with who you are. And that's who you want to focus on, the people who are getting obsessed, because those are your brand ambassadors. Whether they turn into clients or not, they're really important for your brand.
And what is your stance on business owners separating their professional content from their personal content and following the route of people follow me for advice on niche XYZ, so I better not bore them with details of my personal life, of my hobbies, of who I am as a person, and all of those private details. I better deliver the value that they're expecting from me.
I think that's such an outdated way to think. In this day and age, you know, I do think that personal branding is the future of branding. I do call it personal branding is the new black. You know, everyone's going to be a personal brand. And why? Because we as consumer, we're moving away from buying into big names and wanting to buy into values and something that actually closely resembles who we are as humans. I don't want to be associated with a discriminatory brand. Who wants to be with a brand like that? I mean, no one wants to work with them. I mean, we have so many documentaries coming out about a bunch of brands. People are looking for value. People are looking for ethics. People are looking for humans. And people are just waking up to the fact that you could be human in your branding and your business, and people will buy into that, and people want to see that. So this old idea that my business and my personal brand need to be separate, I don't buy into that. I feel like moving forward, we are going to require as consumers from brands to have a face, to have a voice, to have a stance. And if it's not through one person as their face, it's still through a company as a whole. And I'm talking for people who maybe have more than one person behind them. And for my solopreneurs out there, you are one person. It makes no sense for you as one person, especially as a service provider, to have multiple brands and multiple accounts. Unless when we say personal, we mean like the account that is like just for your travel and your cats and your boyfriend. I'm talking about personal as in like showing up as a personality. You want to think about this long-term connection with your audience, especially if you are a service provider. because more often than not, the people who are booking you and buying from you, they actually want your presence. I've heard it so many times in my applications for the brand development coaching program, why people didn't like certain programs that they enrolled in. They told me that, well, the person I signed up with never showed up. And I'm like, that made me think, like, people want the presence, the brain, you know, behind that brand, the philosophy. Since we have Google, we have YouTube, we can Google and read on YouTube all day long. What we really want is leaders at this point.
So interesting that you mentioned that, because whenever people ask me a similar question to what you just said, like, why would anyone buy an online course? For me, where they could search up all of this information online, they could read a book, they could watch a YouTube video. And what you've just mentioned is one of the points I always tell people is that, well, people will want to be in your energy. They will want to know your opinion. They will want to hear the first news from you. And this is something I feel like we can underestimate, maybe because of the imposter syndrome, maybe because we think, oh, we're couldn't be possibly interesting enough for people to be following what we're doing, what we're thinking. But you'd be surprised if you show up as an authority and as a leader in your niche, this is exactly what people will want to follow you for. Like, let's be honest, not a single piece of knowledge that you could possibly share is exclusive. This is not why people buy your programs. This is not why people buy into your products. It's much deeper and much more than that. So I really, really love that you mentioned that. And another thing that stood out to me is when you said, you know, it's outdated to not share personal content. I always feel like people think whenever they hear share personal content that they have to become this YouTube vlogger, post every second of the day online. And that's just not true. Like you don't have to tell the entire world all of your secrets. You can be really selective with what you show. But if you're not going to show anything, you're still going to have a personal brand. People are just going to label you as boring. People are just going to label you as dry. And if that's not something you want to be associated with, if you're not a bank or a serious entity, and even banks aren't changing right now, then you better take the matter into your own hands instead of, you know, letting people label you as dry and boring and outdated.
It's perspective. That's what people buy into. And I know you mentioned banks, and I was just signing up with like all these different banks because I'm in the U.S. for a little bit, and it's just much easier to do this when you are in, you know, your home base. And I've noticed all these new banks that are so cool, and they have really fun cards and fun messaging, and they tell you they plant trees. They tell you what their ethics are. They tell you what they believe in. And I'm like, it feels good to buy into them, to put your money there. And that's how even from the smallest service provider to the largest, now we need to think about these things.
I love that you mentioned that it feels good to buy into something. Whether someone's buying a service or a product, there's always going to be this curve. You get excited after you make a purchase. But especially if that's a high ticket purchase, inevitably, they will come a slump because neurologically speaking, spending money hurts our brain. Like the actual same receptors of pain get activated. So unless people can emotionally and logically reason as to why they've made that purchase, and just what you said, you know, it feels good because you feel like you're contributing to something that aligns with your values. I feel like that supports everything you've said so beautifully, because if people, after buying into your service, don't get that hint of regret of like, oh, why did I just spend 2, 3, 5, 10K on this program? But then they can remember, oh yeah, but this person, they get me. Like they're in alignment with where I want to be. I'm just going to have a lot more happy clients and a lot less, you know, returns, a lot less people thinking like, oh, being skeptical about your programs. So I feel like it's so nice that you mentioned that. And to wrap this up, how do you help your clients? For someone listening to this who is really enjoying what you have to share and they really want to get to know you better, how do you help your clients and where can people find you online?
So I help my clients with, well, if you want free content at this point, I do have a blog. I share a lot of content there in depth about all the things that I've discussed today with that same point of view. My Instagram is very active and my stories is where it's at. And my DMs are wide open. But if you are interested in working with me as a client, I also have my signature offer, which Anastasia was a part of, the brand development coaching program, and it's a 12-week group experience. It's very intimate, very beautiful, and it's one of my favorite experiences to provide to you as a new or up-and-coming entrepreneur. As I usually say, from year zero to third year is the perfect time to join a foundational program like that. And I say foundational because it's going to get you set up from the ground up. I can assure you, you will have many aha moments in this program. And the community that it brings is just incredible. So that's my signature offer at the moment. And in the future, I plan to launch a leadership, kind of like a mastermind mixed with mentorship. And it's going to be a longer time frame. So just be on the lookout for that. If you're more in the advanced, like 3 to 7 years in business, that will be more beneficial for you. But anyways, I would love to hear from you. My DMs, like, those are wide open. I answer each and every DM, no matter how small or large the request is. I don't know why I had to sing that one. But yeah.
Definitely check Marina's profile out. I will link to her in the show notes below. And I can only attest to that. If you feel called to check out this program, like I mentioned, I've been part of it and I really enjoyed it. Just like Marina said, the community is beautiful. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast today. I really enjoyed our conversation. And I think our audience learned a lot from it as well.
Thank you, Anastasia. I really enjoyed the questions and chatting with you as always.
And that wraps up our episode for today. I know I'm buzzing with excitement just re-listening to everything that we've talked about, and that really got the gears in my brain turning it again. I'd love to hear what your main takeaway was, or your aha moment, or something that you want to implement right now. Make sure to tag me on your stories at @itsanastasiaushakova. The link is in the description box below as well. Tag Marina too. She's at Vivaciously Marina over on Instagram. I'm sure she would love to hear your feedback as well. And if you have enjoyed this episode, it would be really cool if you could rate, subscribe, and write a review for this podcast, so that it can reach more people and that we can keep bringing it out. All right, that was it for me for today. Until I hear you next time.